Welcome to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. Happy Saturday, everyone. I'm your host and very excited to be here as always, Pamela Muldoon. We're going to have another great show today. I'm with you for a couple of hours, so hopefully we've got you on the AM dial. Yes, the AM dial still does exist. And possibly live streaming on the web today. Appreciate that. And I got to do this because my mom might be listening today live on the outskirts of the Twin Cities. So, hi, Mom. We'll see you later. Going to be visiting the family later. You know, it's truly, when you have your own show, you get to do kind of whatever you want, and it's kind of fun. I just, yeah, I got my guys here laughing at me, but I'm having a good time. We're really excited for what we're going to bring to the table today. Again, we appreciate our audience and appreciate having you here on a Saturday afternoon. Next Stage Business Radio Show was truly designed for the business community, small business owners, mid-sized business owners, and business professionals that want to get a sense of some of the vibrant opportunities to get resources, information, tips, maybe even a dose of inspiration on a Saturday afternoon. So before we move into our show and what we have on deck, I want to make sure that my online world is also raring to go. We do have a hashtag on Twitter if I have any tweeters that are working it today. So it's hashtag NSB Radio. Please make sure you add that to your tweets so we can spread the word that this great show is happening. And, of course, we also have a fan page, Next Stage Business Radio Show, and we also have our very own Twitter handle, NSB Radio Show. So just to make sure that you've got all that going on, that would be fantastic. And let's look at what we have on deck today. As always, I've got my team of advisors, and they're sitting here ready to go. We're going to have an exciting conversation today. It's probably one of a few that we're going to have throughout this year because it's such a vibrant topic, and about estate planning. So I've got Todd Truhorst, Diversified Wealth Management, on deck, as well as Jeffrey O'Brien from Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen, business attorney and financial advisor here today to talk about estate planning and, of course, how that incorporates into the business planning process as well. I'm really excited. Our organization of the week is something that's pretty near and dear to my heart. I had many, many years of training and development in corporate organizations, and I'm very excited today to bring Terry Chaney, the president of our Twin Cities chapter here for the American Society for Training and Development. She's going to be on deck as our organization of the week. And a very dear friend and talented, very talented man is coming in as our business spotlight, Alan Michael from Alan Michael Design. He is the look behind Next Stage Business and Next Stage Business Radio Show. So I'm really excited to highlight him. And our Leaders and Teachers segment this week is one, you know, if you've been listening to the show the past month as we've been on the air, you've been listening to me talk about collaboration. That is our theme. This whole show is collaborative. Everything I'm trying to incorporate into my own marketing firm is collaborative. And I am excited that we have two gentlemen here later today, Don Ball and Kyle Kubrath, who are co-founders of COCO, which is a co-working and collaborative space that just launched last month in the Twin Cities in St. Paul. And I'm really excited to share that with you guys today as well. So as always, on deck, we've got all sorts of great stuff, and we're just going to lock and load. Lock and load and get her done and go right into my team of advisors. So I want to, again, introduce to my audience Todd Truhorst from Diversified Wealth Management. Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Doing well, Pamela. How are you?
Excellent. I get to go see my little nephew later.
I heard that. That's exciting.
He's brand new. Just purchased.
And adopted.
He's adopted, yeah, wow. Just like me. So that may be a whole other conversation we can have someday, right,
that's
with
cool.
Our team of advisors. So we got Todd and, of course, Jeffrey O'Brien from Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Now, can I ask Jeff or Jeffrey? Do you care?
I've been called lots of different things. So
you've been called
really
worse by better, is that
exactly. Those are the two nicest things he's been called.
Yes. At least today. Awesome. Well, as always, I love to have you guys on the show. We cover some pretty heavy topics, but I hope we have fun while we're doing it.
Absolutely.
And I really hope that our audience does get a sense, in our 20-some minutes together, at least an opportunity to take some notes and possibly connect with you offline if they want to learn more. But it's all about estate planning today. Estate planning. So what I want to know, we're going to kind of, as I like to say when I train, is go 10,000 feet and kind of drill it down to present day. So why don't we kick off with the need for an estate plan? Tell us, you know, let's just start with the very basics. Why do we need to even talk and consider this?
Well, one important point when you talk about estate planning, I'm really glad we're covering this because people don't like to think of their own mortality. And so oftentimes it's very hard to get them to think about their estate plan. For all the business owners that I represent, you know, it's sometimes hard for them to have this discussion, and it takes sometimes years before they finally say, okay, now it's time. And that's including with me, you know, kind of grading on them all the time, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. But the thing I always want to point out is you have an estate plan. There's a default estate plan. Minnesota has a set of laws they call the intestacy statutes, okay? And there's defined formulas and provisions for what happens with your stuff when you die. And it's not always what somebody wants. It's a default. And for a business owner, since a lot of the business owners we're talking to on this show,
right,
the consequences of letting your estate plan go by default for a business owner can really be catastrophic. And it's, you know, we sometimes get a little bit morbid or dire when we talk about estate planning, but I have, you know, I've experience plays it out. I've had some clients who've been in really tough spots because of someone not doing their own estate plan and providing for what happens with the business. We talked about business succession planning before. We talked a little bit about this, but, you know, for a business owner not to have a plan that would end up dealing with their ownership of the company can really be a real mess.
So we have the business attorney perspective and the financial planner perspective, and one of the things I want to make sure that our audience understands, because you guys work together, but how will I know where to start and who should I start talking to? So, Todd, why don't you address the financial advisor's role in this and whether it makes a difference if I'm starting with Jeff first or with you?
I don't think it really it matters entirely who you start with.
Okay.
I think both Jeff or even if you're talking to your other advisors, a tax advisor, you start the discussion of your assets and what's going to happen to them, including a business. And unfortunately, you know, as Jeff said, people don't want to think about, especially when they're young and healthy, they don't want to think about that inevitable event happening. So we try to encourage our clients to think of it as making choices instead of having someone else make choices for them. Because like Jeff said, if you don't make the choices and write them down and have Jeff draft it into a legal document, somebody will make them for you, and it might not be what you want. The other thing we try to impress upon them is if you don't make these choices, you're going to leave what can only be described as a mess for your loved ones. And we have seen it time and time again. I'm sure Jeff has as many stories as I do about people who did not do any estate planning, or they did their estate planning in a quick hurry, or they went online and, you know, did the online will, or
telling you.
Well, it can cause more problems than it actually solves.
Right, right. Well, they see what they see is I can save money, right? I mean,
yep.
I can do it myself and save money. We chatted a little bit about this on the business succession piece, and I know we're going to, as we build this relationship with our audience and talk more, we're going to talk about some of those repercussions, right, of kind of the do-it-yourself model that's
right.
been going on. So, and you're absolutely right. I think that the key here is we don't want to talk about it. You know, we especially in Minnesota, we're like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
yeah.
talk about it later. And I think we all know a little bit of a horror story, or at least know somebody. So let's start at the basics. What are some of the basic foundational pieces that I should be addressing with either one of you, you know, for your specific industries? And then to touch on that, you mentioned age a little bit there, Todd. Is age part of this process? Should I be thinking about this at a certain age other than just some of the life-changing experiences that happen?
I don't think there's a certain age where you have to think about it. You know, it typically comes up. I always tell people it's some kind of triggering event that makes you think about it. You get married, you get divorced, you have a child. There's a change in your financial circumstances. Someone may get sick, you know, and they start thinking about it, right?
Right.
Believe it or not, in the post 9/11 world, a lot of people think about it right before they get on an airplane.
Mm. Sure.
So there's really not it's kind of like you know it when you see it. You know, there's something that triggers somebody. It could even be a death of a loved one or a friend
mm-hmm.
that triggers them to think, boy, you know, I really need to think about this, especially if that person didn't have a plan and they see the mess that it's
going to.
Yeah, we see a lot of our clients deal with it right after their parents have gone, you know, a death in their family, whether, you know, most of the time a parent, and they had to be the ones who acted as the executor or whatever role they were, and they saw what a mess it can be.
Sure, sure.
And how difficult it can be to just settle what would seemingly be a fairly simple estate.
Right, right.
Well, now, I know, and again, in my previous corporate life, I mainly worked in financial services, Fortune 100-sized companies. And so, you know, I learned also the hard way by being a part of the customer service end of things, you know, what people did or didn't have in place from that perspective. So let's start there, because I think sometimes, even though we're addressing this on a business show, this is one of those things that truly parallels life and business.
Yep.
I mean, this is like you're doing both at the same time, or if you don't have your life somewhat in shape, then it's going to affect how you work the business piece. So, Todd, why don't you talk about some of those foundational pieces on a personal level and kind of slide that into the business piece?
Absolutely. Each person, as they do their financial planning, even if it's real basic level, the discussion turns to saving money for different things,
mm-hmm.
education, retirement. What insurance needs to be in place, what your risks are. And as soon as you get into that discussion, you're kind of forced to start to talking about who is this asset going to pass to and how is it going to pass.
Okay.
Whether it's your children or your spouse, or, you know, you don't have a spouse or kids and you want to leave it to charity. All of those issues kind of stem from the discussion of your asset.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to add to that from an attorney perspective at the beginning stages? I mean, we're talking assets a little bit here. So is there something that we should consider from an attorney perspective as we're doing this?
From a document standpoint, you know, obviously when you talk to an attorney about an estate plan, the basic instrument is called, you know, the last will and testament or the will. There's a few other documents, it's always best to have the attorney and the financial advisor, because you're going to get this, not only are you going to get protected from an estate planning standpoint, you're going to get the insurance, you're going to get a number of those things, and then there's some other documents such as, you know, powers of attorney, a health care directive. Nobody really thought about health care directives until a couple of years ago with the Terry Schiavo case, and you had husband versus parents fighting over what they said was her wishes. You know, the law provides a way to actually provide for the person themselves to specify in writing what those wishes are. So that's those documents there from a real basic standpoint, plus, you know, talking about, you know, what you're investing in and insurance and things like that are really the foundation of any estate plan for someone that's of any type, whether it be a business owner or a non-business owner.
So basically what we're saying in our very short time here in this foundational piece is get that financial piece down on paper. Let's see what you have, what some of your goals are for the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, and then beyond, right, what you want to do with those assets and or savings or those different things. And then make sure that you're also putting the documentation in place so that if, God forbid, something happens unexpectedly or sooner than expected, that you've got the legal representation in place.
Right, because by going through that process of having those documents prepared, it forces you to think about what's going to happen, whether I'm disabled or whether I'm deceased, what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break here, guys. When we come back, I want to talk about some specific examples, some specific types of things on a case-by-case basis that might be necessary for me to consider. And then something tells me you might have an example or two to share with the audience. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right, we're going to come back with Todd Terhorst, Jeff O'Brien, and we're going to keep talking estate planning here on Next Stage Business Radio Show. Again, this is Pamela Muldoon, and you're listening to Business 1570. Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm your host, Pamela Muldoon, in studio with Jeffrey O'Brien from Mansfield Panic & Co. And there's a lot of stuff to say, guys. Todd Terhorst, Diversified Wealth Management.
You're getting better at it. Mm-hmm.
You guys each have three words in your company names. So you're like, it's a lot of stuff. But we're talking about estate planning, and not always the funnest topic, not always the most upbeat, but one that is so vital and necessary on a personal and business perspective. And so as we continue the conversation, Todd, let's talk about some specifics. Let's get narrow this down to some specific scenarios or examples of estate planning.
Well, maybe we'll start with the most common and real basic, a husband and wife with young kids.
Okay.
Or even, you know, kids that are getting into the college age, and they're talking about getting ready for retirement. They're talking about how are they going to pay for various objectives that they're trying to save for. And that usually, as I mentioned before, leads into the discussion of what happens if, you know, X, Y, and Z. And one of those ifs is what happens if one of us dies, what happens if both of us die, who's going to make decisions for financially for our children, who's going to make decisions on our health care issues if we're incapacitated, who's going to take care of our children if something happens and they're minor, or even one of them is still a minor.
Okay.
And those are all, again, not real, like you mentioned, not real pleasant topics to talk about, but so vitally important that if you don't address that, like I mentioned right from the get-go, someone else is going to make that choice, and it's, you know, may or may not be in line with your expectations. So we immediately have them start talking about drafting a will, like Jeff mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Healthcare directives. Powers of attorney for people to make decisions for them, choosing an executor who's going to help settle the estate for them and make sure that their wishes are followed. And so that, you know, that's really probably the most common and basic example that we see from a financial planning perspective.
And so how does this also equate to, dot some lines here to the business owner perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can start to do that just by what you're laying the foundation or groundwork for, Todd. But tell us a little bit from your perspective, Jeff, how does this dot the line to that?
Well, when you talk about a business owner, oftentimes you're talking probably about at least one more document and possibly two.
Okay.
There's a instrument out there called the Revocable Trust, otherwise known as the Living Trust. And what that does is if your assets are retitled into the name of that trust, you avoid what's called probate administration of your estate. There's a lot of advantages to doing that, especially, you know, the cost of probate is high. You know, average is, you know, somewhere, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 of attorney's fees simply to do that, which outweighs any fees we would charge in putting any kind of an estate plan together. But also, and this is really important for business owners, it's having everything in a revocable trust and passing it that way to beneficiaries, it's private. A probate proceeding is a public court proceeding.
Sure.
And there's, you know, there's documents filed with court that says what the, you know, someone's stock in their business, what the value of it is. A lot of business owners would prefer to keep that private, especially if they've got competitors in the area.
Sure.
So, you know, to have something like that, a revocable trust is a nice vessel that you can pass things, assets quickly to the next, to your intended beneficiaries. It's private. It certainly is more cost effective than going through a probate proceeding, and especially with a business where you want to keep it running smoothly, you want to have that quick succession to, you know, if you're going to transfer it to children, and having that kind of plan in place is great because, you know, let's say you have, and I'll explain it by example. We had a client a few years ago, was the only child working in the business with dad. Dad was the sole owner.
Okay.
Dad didn't have an estate plan, unfortunately. Or he had one. It was the state's plan. He didn't create his own. Right?
So there's the estate plan, and then there's the state's plan.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
So our client had every expectation that when his dad passed away, he was going to be the owner of that business.
Sure.
Well, dad got remarried. Dad didn't have any kind of a will. Dad dies. Under the intestate laws, stepmom was going to get the business.
Okay.
My client had to buy the business from the estate. He was not happy about it. And he kind of said, well, you know, the system stinks. It's like, no offense, but your dad's planning stunk.
Right.
Because this could have been minimized simply by having a will and by having a revocable trust where you could have just transferred those shares right from, you know, to my client within the trust. You know, there was a whole bunch of rigmarole about having him appointed manager during this time when stepmom was being appointed executor of the estate.
Right.
And then completing the sale. All these different things. It would have been just easier to have that kind of arrangement.
And in that situation, Jeff, the intention, of the father was to truly let the son take over the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the verbal intended agreement. But without having this plan documented and in place, obviously the wishes of the father did not get fulfilled.
That's right.
Okay.
And verbal agreements in probate court, they aren't binding.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Or you get other siblings coming and saying, well, why do you get the business just because you work there. Don't
right.
you get a part of the business?
Well, now it gets fun.
But if you engage in the planning, you have the discussions in advance, you can do things like leave one child the business, and maybe you leave some cash gifts or something to the other children to equalize.
Right.
Things, right?
Well, we talked a little bit about that last in our business succession conversation, how you can set these plans up so everybody's getting their fair share, but not necessarily wanting to work in the business.
Or the same thing happens when you've got multiple non-related business partners. Most of the time, you don't want to be in business with that other person's spouse.
Sure.
And so that goes back to the business succession planning and buy-sell agreements, but it ties into the estate planning issue.
Right.
Of having the discussion ahead of time.
Yep.
So from your perspective, Todd, any examples or samples you'd like to share on things that, you know, stories are great. We learn so much from stories, and we were chatting on break. It's the bad mistakes of others that tend to get us to wake up a little
right.
bit. So,
well, I'd say the most, you know, I'll give you a good example, but I would also add that the most common other problem in just basic terms is that people don't understand there are certain types of assets that pass by beneficiary designation.
Okay.
So IRAs, Roth IRAs, life insurance, usually group benefits if you have a life insurance policy through your employer.
Okay.
If you have the beneficiary actually listed.
Right.
Which can also cause a problem. And then there are other assets that unless you own them properly or you title them properly or you use a trust, they don't pass. They go through probate. And then if you don't have the will in place, all of a sudden, you're in this problem that Jeff used the example on.
Sure.
And then they go in accordance to the state's plan, not the estate plan, as you like to.
Right.
You just coined.
I like
Pamela.
The clarification there. Yeah.
Let me steal that.
please.
So,
research.
You know, a good example that probably about a year ago, I had a client come in, and similar to Jeff's example, they had not done any estate planning whatsoever. And the husband was, unfortunately, completely incapacitated.
Mm.
And the family, for lack of a better description, argued for about a year to try and help figure out how things were supposed to be laid out because the father could not contribute to the discussion.
Okay.
And he passed away before they could actually make any decisions, and it took him about 2 years more after that to actually get the estate settled. And this was not a multi-million dollar estate. This was
sure.
an estate worth, you know, had a house and a few IRAs and an annuity and a couple other things and some checking. But it was just simply a mess because they could have had the discussion in about 5 minutes ahead of time and it would have solved the whole problem.
Well, and I keep certain movies start falling into my like Rain Man,
right.
the
yeah.
movie Rain Man. You know, all these. It's we really do not think about this. And just like when we talked about the business succession piece, we're excited about where we are right now and where we can see things going. But the idea of sitting down and talking with either of you, I mean, it's nothing personal, of course, is not necessarily the most best part of our day because we have to talk about some real stuff.
Right.
Do you find either one of you, you know, and we're going to go to break here in just a little bit, but just do you find that it's hard to get the family to sit down? And I mean, you get one person, then maybe two people. I mean, you're talking about really this should be a collective conversation, correct?
It depends. In some cases,
okay.
it's just the husband, wife making good decisions
sure.
if the children are minors. In other cases, yes, sometimes you do need family input and to help iron out issues that you don't want to turn into a family argument for the rest of the children's lives
right.
if you don't talk to them about it ahead of time. So it really depends, especially with business owners. It's incredibly important.
Well, and we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I really want to focus on the business piece and maybe even share. I know Jeff's shared one example. Let's, you know, give a couple of other examples of how the business owner needs to really pony this up and take care of it. So when we get back from our little break, we're going to talk about that and continue our estate planning conversation with Jeff O'Brien and Todd Terhorst. Again, it's Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon. You're listening to Business 1570. Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon. In studio here with Todd Terhorst from Diversified Wealth Management and Jeff O'Brien from Mansfield Panic & Cohen, and we are discussing estate planning, and we're trying to keep it very lively, even though this is it's a pretty heavy conversation for a Saturday afternoon. And I want to talk to you guys. You know, there's this buzz going on, obviously, this little thing called healthcare reform. Perhaps some of you have heard about it.
What is that?
Obviously, when we're having discussions around a pretty heavy topic like that, it's going to affect the estate and the estate planning, and of course the taxes involved with that process. So who wants to tackle that?
I'll start. It's had a more direct effect on the estate tax right now, because here's a little by way of background. And the estate tax, of course, is a tax on a person's estate when they die. And there's percentage tax. It's very punitive. It's very high, but there's a very high exemption amount. So certain, you know, several million dollars of your estate is exempt from the estate tax. Okay, so when we, as estate planners, when we're drafting these documents, and when I'm working with Todd, we're trying to create a scenario where when you run the numbers, you end up with zero estate tax. Okay, and there's ways to do that. But right now the problem is this: we're talking a little kind of morbid here and a little serious about estate planning. Of course, we can add a little levity about what our friends in Washington D.C. have been doing. Healthcare reform debate sidetracked a discussion about the estate tax. 10 years ago, in 2001, when President Bush was elected, there was this big tax reform bill. And part of it was to raise the exemption amount gradually over the next 10 years, leading to, in 2010, there was going to be zero estate tax. And I remember when it came out, we were joking about how 2010 is the year that you want to die, because there's no estate tax. All of us doing that thinking there's no way they're ever going to allow it to actually go to zero, so they're going to do something about it before.
Especially after the change of administration.
Yeah, right. They're going to do something. We thought, as planners, we thought when in 2006, when Congress shifted control, there was going to be some discussion dealing with it then. But, you know, politicians being as they are, put it off. Now in 2010, we have zero estate tax right now. It happened. There is no estate tax, federal estate tax. There's a Minnesota estate tax, but not a federal estate tax. And that creates all sorts of problems for planners in terms of how we're planning for these things. Because there's a lot of things that we do as planners to compensate for the estate tax. And the real quick example, Todd mentioned life insurance in the last segment. And life insurance, yes, it does pass free of probate, because if you name a beneficiary in the life insurance policy, but it's still included in your taxable estate for estate tax purposes, okay? So that leads us to creating something called an irrevocable life insurance trust, where the policies go, or the insurance policies, life insurance policies, are transferred to the trust. The title of those policies are transferred to the trust. Trust pays the premiums on those policies. Once they're in that trust for 3 years, then they're excluded from your taxable estate. Another example is, you know, when you create a document, you create a couple of different trusts within your will or your trust, right? One of them says, in this little language, is we pass the amount, you know, all the amounts that can pass free of federal estate tax to Trust A, and everything else will pass to the spouse, the surviving spouse, outright. Well, right now with no estate tax, that means the surviving spouse doesn't get anything into that second option. So, you know.
Well, and my guess is we don't know this. I mean, as a general public, right? I mean, you guys are, your job is to stay on top of this.
Well,
even
the attorney and my, you know, even financial planners, we've been kind of twiddling our thumbs, waiting for them to make a decision.
Sure.
About how to fix the problem. Are they going to leave it at $3.5 million, which is what it was, ended up last year, I believe? Is it going to retro back to, I think if we don't do anything, I think in 2011, it goes back to $1 million again,
yeah,
which is where it started.
Yep, exactly. The way it was set up is it goes to zero this year, but just like, you know, you hear this talk in the news about, you know, the Bush tax cuts being, you know, sunsetting, right, expiring.
Right.
The estate tax exemption amount increase also expires with that same piece of legislation. So next year it goes back to the 2001 amount.
Yeah.
This whole thing was not a good example of how to make legislation.
No.
I mean, to sunset something so serious as, you know, tax on the assets that you have when you die, to kind of throw it in as a big jump ball up in the air was probably not the best idea to do.
Well, and we all know that, you know, Uncle Sam always gets paid. So
we assume they'll retro back once they make their minds up to make this issue a priority.
Yeah, there's been discussion for several years. There's always been a Republican bill and a Democrat bill somewhere. My prediction is somewhere there's going to be an exemption amount somewhere in the range of $3 to $5 million, and that's where they're going to settle out. So there will be an estate tax. There's going to be an exemption amount. They just have to kind of buckle down, stop goofing around, and take
make
a day. And
make a decision. I mean, just
exactly.
Pick some
yeah.
topics that they can actually agree on.
Yeah.
Well,
good
luck with that,
yeah.
right?
Okay, maybe not.
I know. It's really
It's serious.
It's serious. I know we're kind of talking lighthearted, but yeah, it is an extremely serious situation, and it's affecting.
And it makes planning more difficult,
yeah.
right? Your estate planning documents that Jeff would draft have to be made flexible enough so that if they make a change in the laws unexpectedly, that he can, you know, make sure your documents are going to work for what you did.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because it's not really good practice to just advise your clients, don't die this year.
Right.
It's a little hard to make
If you're going to die, go ahead and die this year.
Right, right.
Because
we have 11 months in the year to work with. So, this is obviously a pretty, it's a heavy topic. It's a very diverse topic. And like we said, this is probably going to be the first of many. You know, we're really here putting the foundational pieces together. So any last little, I'm sitting here listening at home on the web or in my car. What's a tip from each of you to start this process, or at least say, you know, these are the one or two things I better be considering in the next, you know, say 7 to 10 days if I want to start moving on this?
Well, as I've said before on the show, and we encourage all of our clients to, when we start a planning process, to do this, make a list of all your assets first. Understand how their ownership, title, and so forth are set up. Understand which of them have beneficiary designations, and then call Jeff and I. Or, you know, in other words, get some help and make sure that you're thinking through all the issues that we just mentioned on the show.
Any last little tips from you,
Jeff? I would concur with Todd on that point. You know, just whether you go through having Todd do your financial plan or me doing your estate plan, it forces you to go through an inventory of what you have, and that's really a good first step. A lot of people, it's just kind of fly without a net, and it's a really good thing as you start these planning processes to just catalog and inventory what you have.
And if you have done some stuff on the internet, let's take a look at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
The internet's great, but whether or not you're getting specific forms, specific things that are compliant with the laws of this state is another issue. And you miss that planning piece, you know, that you can get with your attorney and your financial planner working together.
And options. I mean, you guys really bring options to the table.
Yep. Right?
Especially if it's been a really long time since you've done it, and there's been, you know, children have grown, or you've gotten divorced, or you've been remarried, or you started a new business, and, you know, a lot of people think, well, I just did this 10 years ago.
Right.
Well, unfortunately,
a lot happens in a decade.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap up our conversation today. And, of course, as always, it goes so fast. And I have such a great time chatting with you. And before we do go, Jeff and I have to plug a little something because we have an event coming up, actually, that Mansfield Hannick & Cohen is hosting and sponsoring here Thursday, the 18th of February. And I'm pretty darn excited. I get to do a little keynote presentation on Target Your Ideal Client.
Yep.
But tell us just real briefly what this event is, Jeff.
Well, our firm is going to host a Women Entrepreneurs Conference. We've done it in the past. It's been kind of, we haven't done it for a few years. We've finally decided that it was time. We had so many great speakers that we could line up to do it. So you're going to get a combination. Anybody that wants to attend is going to get a combination of hearing from, you know, a few attorneys in the business. And some of this discussion we talked about today will be picked up by my partner, Earl Cohen, who is, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi to my Luke Skywalker when it comes to estate planning. And we'll talk about, you know, basic legal stuff, but we're also going to have, obviously, Pamela, you're going to talk about your targeting your ideal client. We're going to have presenters on social media, on communication skills, on human resources, and we're going to talk about how social media and human resources interact as well. So
many connecting of the dots nowadays, isn't there?
Business plans and everything else. So we really are going to get a really kind of a soup-to-nuts discussion of what goes into being a small business owner. And so if there's some women business owners or women entrepreneurs listening, if you go to our website, mansfieldpanic.com, and there's on the right-hand side, there's a little button that links to that conference, and it has information on myself and you, Pamela, and the other presenters.
And all the speakers.
It's going to be a real fun event.
And what's really exciting is the cost.
There is no cost.
Free. I know. It's awesome. So you can't beat that. Again, thanks so much. Jeff O'Brien, Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen. Of course, Todd Terhorst, Diversified Wealth Management. You can get all their information on nextstagebusinessradio.com as well. And there, we'll continue this conversation, estate planning part two, probably three, four, as we go through the year. So thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, we're going to be back in just a bit with Terry Chaney from the American Society for Training and Development Twin Cities Chapter. She's on deck. You're listening to Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon. Business 1570.